going to ask Agnes to come and to do her testimony. Thanks, Agnes.
My name is Agnes, the one that Jesus loved. I'll start with the first thing I'd like to acknowledge, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, my helper, as without them I would have not made the journey this far now. My journey is betrayal, abuse, blackmail, robbed of dignity, of money, of life, filled with fear and confusion, is no doubt the story of many other people. The enemy in this world is evil and wants to destroy our peace, our joy, and our lives, and turn us to angry, bitter, twisted, nasty, unforgiving people. But on this journey, we are being formed into our character that we will be known by. People we recognize, people will recognize the anger and the bitterness, the unforgiveness and unhappiness that oozes from people like this. Or perhaps they will see peace in your character, joy and happiness, patience, forgiveness and understanding, resilience. Then we will know that our Father has been working in these people. They have called on Him for help. Through Him, they have overcome and continue to face every obstacle, grasping the hem of His garment. He is the only one that can do it. He is the Alpha and the Omega that was sent His Son to show us love, Jesus. Amen.
Okay, where's my Penny girl? Come on, Penny. She's just an absolute little blessing like the rest of them, this one.
Hello, everyone. Sorry, I'm a bit nervous. Well, up until lunchtime, I didn't know what I was going to share. I was asking God. God has done a lot in the lives of myself and my family. Oh, sorry, I'm supposed to stand here and turn. Okay, so if you're not aware about, you know, the culture of Ghana, we are not traditionally Christians. We have African traditions that we are supposed to conform to. My great-grandmother was a slave trader, and that's how she met God. She was on a journey. She bought a couple of slaves, was traveling, journeying to the coast to trade them off to white people to bring to either, I think the Americas or wherever it is, they were taking them. And she met a couple of evangelists, and through that she became born again, and she brought Christianity to my father's village. And it was through her, and it's actually an amazing story because she was a woman, and at the time women were not allowed to make decisions or initiate anything. But through my great-grandmother and my grandmother, there was an establishment of a church. And that led to bringing Christianity to our side of the country, which is the Volta region in Ghana. And through that, my dad got born again. I'm standing here today as a Christian. It wasn't easy. I grew up in a Christian home, but we observed that none of the kids were Christian. We knew about God. We wake up every day at 5 a.m. to pray. My mom will come banging on our doors to get up and have morning devotion. We didn't take it seriously. We thought it was normal. Every household had it. But as we grew up and we left the home, we stopped praying. We stopped going to church. And being the last of 4 kids, I found God in uni. I actually got born again at the time where I thought, you know, I never believed I would be born again. I was from a Christian home. I was like, I didn't want anything to do with God. I just wanted to live my life, you know, free from all of that. But somehow God thought, you know what, you need to come to me, and found me. And once He did, my elder sister joined in, and now my brother. So thankfully, we are all now back to God, and that is my testimony. I have a song, Amazing Grace, please join me to sing. I'll be this way somewhere.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I
you don't know where people come from, do you? Okay. Just before we go on, there's a whole heap of fruit out there that Helen's brought that needs to go today. There's custard apples and avocados. That's all you got there? And bananas. But whatever. Okay. From this area, from Lakeland, wherever. Oh. Okay. So, can we have good and gracious King Tim, please? And where's Ruth? Rose. Sorry, Rose. I got my arse mixed up. Sorry, Ruth. I was thinking about you, Helen. I got myself. Okay, can we have that good and gracious King? Rose, do you want to sing this song on the microphone? Good and gracious King? Thank you, Rose. This beautiful lady, she wondered if she'd get here today, but the Lord knew that she had to come. Thank you, Rose. Now we're going to have our Gloria, and she's going to give us testimony. She's the one that does the flowers.
Without God, I wouldn't be able to do the flowers. He's everything to me. My testimony is about how important is the telephone. I think it's really a royal telephone when you think about it, and that's the song that will be played later. When I was about 5 or 6 years old, I was bitten by a brown snake, and if the neighbour hadn't had a telephone, I don't know what Mum and Dad would have done. And I was rushed halfway to Atherton, because we lived 9 miles out, and then met the ambulance, who tied a handkerchief around my leg. We didn't use tourniquets in that day. Tied a handkerchief around my leg and rushed me to the hospital, where Dr. Atone, which all the old people of the area will know that doctor, he wiped my leg where the snake had bitten me, and then he cut through the bite mark and he sucked the poison out with his mouth. So, you know, without the telephone, where would I be? That's the start of my story. Mum and Dad never had a phone. They run a business without a telephone. And nowadays, you can't do anything without a telephone. Prayers are like a telephone to God. You know, we can phone our friends, and in talking, you can pray over the phone with your friend, and your friend can be in another country. So it's a very important telephone. I think it was Alexander Bell that produced it, and he wouldn't have produced it if God hadn't have given him the knowledge, the determination to do that. So we Google on it, we play games on it, we do business on a telephone. The telephone saves lives. It also helped to save my granddaughter's life many years ago. My mother sent me and my brothers and sister to Sunday school. And when I found out, I loved going until I hit about 12 year old. And I found out that Mum had plans for me. Well, that's when I decided I wasn't going to do anything, she said. And I wouldn't go to Sunday school anymore. And anyway, her prayers at the time that I would become a Sunday school teacher, which I didn't want that. I didn't want anything to do with God. I wanted nothing to do with him at all, or anything that Mum said. I was really anti. But anyway, it took 55 years of Mum's prayers for me to become an RI teacher in the schools. So her prayers, we must never give up on our prayers. God holds them in the palm of his hand for a time such as he knows best. Now, God's timing is perfect. I met Rodney when I was 17, and he was a Christian. And Mum said to me, oh, he's the pick of the bunch. And I thought, yeah, you could go and jump for that one. But I married him. and within a couple of months, I became a born-again Christian myself at a Billy Graham's crusade. But later on, that was when I was 20, and later on when I was in my 30s and got up to a lot of mischief, I gave my heart again to the Lord. And then when I reached my 40s, I gave my heart again to the Lord. So I believe, you know, we do it, but sometimes we do it again later and a few times later. All my sons are born again Christians, and my grandchildren are all born again Christians, but you can't get them to church at the moment. they just won't go. I don't really think I've got much more to say other than the telephone is a really important, it's a real royal telephone. When we get on the phone to our friends and we pray over the phone with a friend, you know, we're actually, it's like a telephone to God. You know, when we lie in bed at night and we don't have anybody with us, you know, when you're a widow, you're on your own, you can talk out aloud in the dark and you know that God is listening to you. And he's there every inch of the way. He's there for you. That's all I've got to say.
Yay! Give me a good life. You know, we have a scene of scripture. It's for people in the church and people outside the church. It's more just for seniors to get together and just have a cuppa and a chat. And we just usually have some topic we talk about, people write poems about or whatever. We have lots of songs, the old songs, not all Christian songs. There's a gentleman, he's 88 years old, he's still a volunteer down at the museum here, the Railway Museum, and he comes every month, and we have that song every month, and he plays his guitar. So it's beautiful. But I had a poem written, and Gloria asked me to read it. And it is about the telephone. And then we're going to have Ruth to give us our message. Well, just Google it, it's called. As an older person, new technology has passed me by. I've never had to use it, and I don't even want to try. But someone told me that it was best to have a mobile phone in case I got into trouble when I was away from home. So I got talked into buying a Galaxy 5 phone, now you know how old it is, and used to just make calls when I was not at home. I thought I was very clever, just being able to make a call. I didn't care about its other functions at all. Well, the grandkids found out that I had a new phone, and before I knew it, they were all coming around home. They showed me how to use it as if I understood, and I thought I'd never need it at all, even if I could. Any time I asked them a question about anything at all, they would just say, "Google it, Grandma. That is what the phone is for." After quite a while, I learnt more about the phone, and I became quite proficient with it, even when I was home. Now, when the grandkids asked me about a certain recipe, or even how to clean a shirt after staining it with tea, I just smile to myself and reply with some wit, "If you really want to know, sweetheart, just Google it." That's a true story. That is me and my grandkids. My sister actually wrote that one. Okay, Ruth, we're going to have you up. Do you want your first song first, or do you want to introduce first?
We'll go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 to 9. "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go."
And 1 John 1, verse 1.
"In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We know that the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will never pass away. Forever the Word of God is settled in heaven. Jesus is the Word. And the Lord said to me one day, he said, "Pour out my word. Pour out my word, because the word has anointing to destroy the works of the enemy." So this afternoon I want to share with the promises of God that we can go in the word of God and fix our eyes on the word of God and get answers. Because the Bible says that God watches over his word to perform it. And the word of God will not return to him void, but it was accomplished what he sent forth. And God is the truth, he cannot lie. So it's important that we know the promises of God, we know the word of God and where to look for. And so today, there's some sheets here that we'll hand out, so you can take it home and have a look and do a study on the word yourselves, where the promises of God, where the Father promised us, where you can remind him of his word and get results when you pray. And God is so good. He's given us a lot of promises that we can go to the word of God and read it, declare it, remind him about it, and the word will accomplish what he sent forth. The Lord said to me, pour out my word. My word has the anointing to destroy the works of the enemy. So we're living the days now where the word of God has to be first place in our hearts daily. Otherwise, if you don't have the word of God in you, the enemy can come and take you out. You have to be ready all the time with the word of God. I want to share a little bit of testimony about myself, because it's important that we know the promises of God about the healing and about whatever situation we face, all the answers is in the Bible. And so I was facing a situation one day with my son. So I said to him, you got to pray, ask the Lord to forgive you, and we're going to pray his word over your life. So I was praying Isaiah 54 verse 17. That's one of my favorite scriptures. And as I was reading the word of God after my son prayed, I'm reading it, and the Father spoke audibly. God said, as I was reading it, he said, this is God speaking. And I knew that was the Father. Audibly, so I stopped, and he continued to read his own word. That's why we must pay attention to the word, the promises of God, if you want to overcome situations, because he made a way for us at the cross at Calvary. When he died, we died with him. We were crucified with him, and he comes to set us free. And the word of God is the light. The word will lead you and guide you. And we have friends, children, family members, whatever situation they go through, you can stand on the promises of God and declare his word over yourself and your family. And God promised us, he said, my word will not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I send forth. The word of God is alive, it's powerful. And the Lord said to me, he said, when you send my word, you are sending myself to go and fix the problem, because I am the word. Jesus said, when you send my word, you are sending myself to go and fix the problem. And God is faithful and true to his promises. So all these promises of God, you can do a study on it. And whatever situation you face, it's guaranteed that God will bring it to pass according to his will. The word of God is the will of God. And that's why it's important that we know the word of God. Because the word of God is alive. It's living. It's very, very powerful. Very powerful. And the word created everything. And everything is held together by the word of God. And so when the word comes out of you, the moment you speak it, it's activated in the spirit. And it's going to accomplish what you send forth. Because you know what? God is the truth. God is truth. He cannot lie. And I've experienced that in my own life. How many times that I stand on the promises of God and God never failed me. Never failed me once. And I'm here today to say that I've been through trials and tribulations in my own life and my family. But every time we stand on the word of God, and God always comes through. No matter what we face, He will never leave us and forsake us. You know, God is with us to the very end. And we live in the times where we have to put our trust in the word of God 100%. Put it in front of our eyes. You got to speak it out loud, read it out every day, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you don't spend time in the word of God, when you face trials and tribulations, you won't really overcome it. You know, because we're living the last days. And what we are seeing now, you know, nations rising against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, earthquakes, famines, all these things are coming. But be of good cheer, because the word will always prevail, no matter what. No matter what we face, the word of God will never fail us. It's guaranteed, because it's given us eternal life. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word will never pass away. Luke 10. Thank you, Phyllis. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down to the same roads, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But the Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring an oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Praise the Lord. So we see here Mary, she made a decision in her heart to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to him. Martha was busy doing something else. And it comes down to your will and your decision. There'll be so many distractions out here. Every day we face distractions of all kinds. But you have to make a decision in your heart. "I'm going to put the word of God first place. Everything else can wait. The word has to be number one in our lives." And that's what the Lord told me one day. Prioritize your priority. So we all need to do that. We got to prioritize our priority. The word of God. When you put the word of God first place, in the morning when you get up, everything else in the day, God will take care of it. I mean, what a better life to live. It's already taking care of the universe. So it might as well you spend your time with him, the creator himself. And I've experienced that in my own life, where when I put the word of God first place, the Lord helps me. Even if I have a very busy day, the Lord takes care of everything. And it's amazing that he has an anointing for every job that we do. Whatever things you want to do during the day, it will help you. So here we see Mary and Martha. She was more concerned about hospitality and everything else. But Mary chose a better way, because the miracle worker himself, God of the universe, was there in the house. Think about that. And he lives in you. He lives in me. And it's important that we spend time with him daily, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. And he will keep you from danger. He will keep you from whatever situation that the enemy throws at you. We all need to sharpen our spirit. Feed on the Word of God. We've got to feed it daily, because the Holy Spirit has promised us in the book of Hebrews that he's going to write his word in our heart and in our mind. So we will become a living epistle. We are born of the word. So the word of God must be first place in our lives for what is coming. We already can see the wars, things that are happening around the world. Ephesians chapter 6, put on the full armor of God. And you've got to know where the scriptures are in the Bible. I don't know all the scriptures, but we all need to grow together. I need to study, so I use. And we encourage one another. Stand on the promises of God in these last days, what we're facing. Because we are the generation, I believe with all my heart, we're going to be here and the Lord is coming back. And we will overcome whatever the enemy throws at us with the word. Because the word is the sword of the spirit. If you don't have the word of God, I encourage you to do that now. Start prioritizing your priority. Put the word of God first place in your life. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, the world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me, because I live. You also will live. On the day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let's go. So we see this morning the Lord Jesus said, because he loves the Father, he does only what the Father tells him. And he is our example. Whatever the word of God tells us that we must do because of love. He loves us, that's why he came, to set us all free. He paid an awesome price for our salvation, the word itself. And as we submit and obey the word of God will cleanse us. He will purify us and make us grow from glory to glory. And the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit promised us in the book of Hebrews, he's going to write his words in our hearts and our minds so we can grow from glory to glory. We'll become more like Jesus. That's the good news. You know, the sons of God, as we submit, he will grow, he will make us grow into his image. You know, the word of God is powerful, and he will never leave us, he will never forsake us. But this Psalm 141, 8, King David, he says, "But my eyes are fixed on you, Sovereign Lord, in you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death." So we see King David, a man after God's own heart. I want to be like that. Yeah, he said, "My eyes are fixed on you." That's what we should be doing. Our eyes are fixed on him. No matter what we go through, we're going to make a decision. Our eyes are going to be fixed on Jesus, because he's the answer. He's our protector. He's our helper. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us. He's faithful, and he will give us the right word at the right time we need it. And the word that he gives us, that's the word you speak, you know. And the Lord Jesus was led by him when he was on earth. And Jesus said, "I do nothing of my own." So we should be like that. Be led by the Spirit of God daily. Because the word will protect us as we submit to him. And we abide in the word of God, and he in us. The walk that you walk is just, I mean, words gonna describe it. He will protect you and save you, heal you, deliver you, you know. He's a loving Father, and we love him, so we obey his word. But my encouragement is, make a decision to put the word of God first place in our lives. Amen. Doesn't matter what goes around, spend time with God daily. He will prosper you. He will take care of you. He will protect you from danger. I got a quick testimony. My when I went home to Papua New Guinea, I had 8 members of my family. We were in a bus, and the bus went over the hill. The 3 children, the youngest was 5. That morning, I prayed Psalms 91 and Psalms 23. And the bus went. The glasses were smashed. Everything was smashed. The bus was skeleton. It was full. And myself included, we were in the bus. There don't wear seatbelts up there. But you know what? God's promise came to pass. It protected every member of my family. Not one of them died. Few people died. And his faithfulness. And while I was in the bus, in the valley, in the bus, I didn't wanna, you know, like you see the movie, when planes go into the water, people struggle to come out. I was just at peace in my heart while I was in the valley, in the shadow of death. The Lord was with me. I felt his presence all over me. And then he supernaturally transported me and my family out of the bus and the water. And every one of my members were saved. And I said to the Lord, "Why did you let me go through this?" And he just gave me one word, Noah. And when God gives you a word, it comes with wisdom. You'll know what to do. And I said, "Oh, I did have 8 members of my family, and it was Noah's faith that saved them." So I was meant to be there with them. And God restored everything. And so, you know, heaven and earth belongs to him. The gold is mine, the silver is mine, the earth and its fullness belong to the Lord. You know, he's the owner of everything. So just rest in his word, rest in him, and he'll take care of you. Whatever your needs are, he promised us that. Go through all those promises. God is faithful. He'll never let you down. Never, 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 never. He's never let me down once. Not in my life. And so, yeah, so that was my testimony, what God did to me. And he's faithful and just. No matter what your children face, no matter what you face, everything in this world, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. He's on the throne forever, and his word will accomplish everything he sent for. So it's important that we encourage one another, spend time in the word of God, and read it out loud, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And ask the Holy Spirit to write his word in our hearts and our minds. And the Holy Spirit is here. we have an unlimited access to the throne of God. Anything you want to know, ask the Holy Spirit. He's our teacher. He will lead us and guide us into all the truth. And he will protect us. Yeah. We limit ourselves because we don't ask him. You know? We can go boldly. Whatever your friends need or your family or your children, you can ask the Lord. He's a good God. He will never let you down because he loves you unconditionally. God is love, and his love never fails. He loves you. No matter what you go through, God loves you the way you are because we are created in his image. And every one of us are individuals. Before we were born, he knew us, and he chose to give us life. And that's why we're here today, you know, because God is so merciful. He's so loving and kind and good and patient and whatnot. So I believe in my heart we all want to grow to be like Jesus. Yeah, so we got to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and obey his word, and you will be blessed in everything that you do. That's all I like to share. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, thank you that you equipped us with your word. Thank you that we're an overcomer. We are born of you. And Lord, we thank you that you are faithful and true to your word. As we seek you daily, Lord, I pray that you will circumcise our hearts, our ears. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We'll grow from glory to glory to be more like Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. Let you increase in our lives and we will decrease. And Lord, let your fire burn in our hearts for you every day of our lives, Father. Keep us safe and strong to the very end, and to prioritize our priority. Put your word first place in our lives, Father God. Lord, we need you. Remind us every day to spend time in your word. Oh, what a graceful Father you are. You are so merciful and graceful, Father. We love you, Lord, and we want to do your will. And that's why we're here today, to encourage one another, to grow from glory to glory, because you're coming back to take us home, and you're coming back for a spotless bride. As we submit to your word, Father, I pray that you will cleanse us and purify us. Anything that we need to make right with you, bring to our remembrance, Father, that we will confess any sins in our lives. And Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, as we wait for your coming, Father, and walk with you daily, that we will keep our eyes on your word, Father God, and we thank you that our children will be taught of you too. Father, we commit our children to you and all our loved ones. Father, we thank you, Father, that you are faithful, and you said all your children will be taught by the Lord. In the book of Isaiah, you promised us that. And Lord, we lift our family and brothers, sisters to you, and loved ones, that they will all be taught by you. And Lord, we thank you. We give you praise, glory, and honor for what you're doing in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, before we have our last two testimonies, I want a show of hands. People who are from Milla Milla. She was here this morning. People from Atherton. People from Innisfail. People from Cairns. People from Urbanbank. Hey? The Bender. Yeah, people. I've got them written down, don't worry. Now I've lost my place. People from Yungaburra. Yay! People from Tinneroo. Yay! Okay, who have I got? Mareeba! Yay! I lost my place, I had them all written down. So I've missed nobody. Very good. Brisbane, yes, that's one. I'm Brisbane, sorry. I've even got that written here, Ruth. Okay. Next song that we're going to sing is Amazing Grace, My Chains Fell Off. And then Sherry's going to come and give us a testimony. How amazing is his grace?
Praise the Lord. And how amazing it is to be here today sharing with our sisters in Christ. I'm going to start with the beginning of my life. I was born in the 40s, raised in the 50s and 60s. My father was wounded during the war, and so we were a very poor family. We moved to a small country town, which consisted of 7 houses and a park. We had no electricity, no telephone, and no vehicle. So my whole world was as big as the street I lived in, the school I went to, and the Baptist church I attended. We shared and cared and loved our neighbours. And so I felt I had the best life ever, and we never wanted or asked for anything. We were loved and protected the whole time. But as time goes on, at the age of 12, my parents had electricity and Dad got a vehicle, but a telephone was totally out of the question because it was not necessary, because Mum wrote 10 letters a day. So why would you need a telephone? And so we went to Pathfinders, and I must say, I got baptised when I was 16, and we had a wonderful Christian fellowship with Pathfinders, and we all grew up that way. And then I guess as I got older, I became very restless. My brother, he became an apprentice electrician, stayed in the town, whereas me, I was restless and I thought there must be something else out there. So when the Air Force came round for recruits, I decided, that's me, I'm going to join the Air Force. And I asked my father, he said, I'll think about it. And he said, anyway, I went and did all the tests and I said, yes, we've got a job for you. And so he eventually gave in and I left. And it was so appropriate. Enter through the narrow gate, for the wide gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many go through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find. My brother went through the narrow gate, and he kept his life walking with God, but not me. I kicked up my heels and I galloped through that wide gate. I couldn't wait to get out there to see what was happening. And so with my job, I was sent all around Australia. I was very fortunate. And eventually I married. I married into a family of school teachers and university lecturers. And they said they would re-educate me about God. And so therefore, I put God on the back burner. And he really didn't come into my life much, except when I went home, first thing, what church are you attending? And I would say, I haven't found one yet. And so my brother would take me along to church and he'd say to the pastor, this is my sister Sherry and she is lost. And so I'd look down the floor and I'd be looking everywhere and I couldn't wait to get out of church. And so, but God never gave up on me, because through my journey, he kept putting all these different people in my life. And one turned out to be a pastor's wife, and she used to say, Sherry, come and help me with this. I need you to help me. And so I did, and I was gradually walking back in the way I grew up. However, by the time I turned the age of 40, I lost all of my family. They didn't have a long life. And so at the age of 40, I realised I was entirely on my own. And I found that what was ahead of me was this big mountain, and I didn't know how to get over it or get around. So I became very angry, resentful, and I certainly turned my back on God because I didn't believe he did the right thing by me. And so, and then I had some amazing friends in my life. And anyway, Tim, can you put up Isaiah 30, 30:21, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in. And that's actually what happened. I woke up one morning and I thought, I've got to move. I've got to get away. I'm stuck. And I rang my friend and I said, I'm moving. She said, where are you going? I said, I don't know. They're somewhere. And anyway, and then God opened a door for me and he brought me up to Cairns. I came up there and I found work. And then he opened another door for me. A friend I shared a flat with many years ago rang and said, why don't you come up and live here with me? I said, oh, if I find work, I might. Anyway, I came up here to the Tablelands. I found work and I thought I had too much spare time. So I got involved in doing volunteer work, mainly with churches. And then I kept getting these little nudges. I thought, oh, I might go to church this Sunday. And I'd wander off to church. And then God really placed someone in my life who opened the door for me completely. And she guided me back through. And that's when I became born again Christian. And that's when amazing grace came into my heart. And I knew he was living there. And that's when all those mountains that I had, I couldn't climb, I couldn't get around, became little anthills. And I was actually able to step over them because his grace was with me. And I thought, wow, how simple was that? And so this is when Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, when you really trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And I can assure you, he does. Once I let him navigate my life, everything just fell into place one after the other. And I just could not believe it. And all I can say is that Jesus is the Lord of my life. And the more I learn about him, the more I love him. And I just want, I attend the women's Bible study here every Thursday. And every week, God puts the same song on my heart, which you all know is number 46. So now I'm asking the women to take the
lead. Right, this song, what we actually do, it goes I first, because that's when you first become a Christian. Okay? You realise and you become born again. And then in the second part of it, that's when we come together and we all get together and pray and have Bible study and fellowship and whatever. So us ladies took the liberty of changing a couple of words. So I'm going to, we're not having any music with this. So this side here, stand up there, Trick. This side here is going to follow me. So we'll all probably be walking up the street. And that side there is going to follow Helen. Helen, you just do the echo, and yeah, that'll be easier for you. Because then, because I know what they've done. You don't have to stand up, you can sit down and have fun.
I am redeemed,
I am redeemed,
by the blood of the Lamb,
by the blood of the Lamb.
I am redeemed,
I am redeemed,
and I know I am,
and I know I am.
I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, saved by him, and I know I am. All my sins are taken away, praise the Lord.
On Calvary,
Jesus suffered for me.
Jesus suffered for me.
He bore sin's curse.
He bore sin's curse.
And he set me free.
And he set me free.
I'm reconciled by Jesus' blood. Born again by the Spirit of God. All my sins are washed away. Praise the Lord.
Souls got blessed, so we stayed all day.
Oh.
That we're saved, we're born again, and we know who did it. And when we're speaking out as a group of ladies, we're going to tell the devil, hey, we're together, we are one, regardless of where we come from. Okay, I'm going to introduce Helen, and Helen's going to do a testimony, or you want to talk about the station first?
That'll be good.
Okay, Helen's going to take us.
I actually got a very easy movement in there, so yeah, we will all share and share our voices, and we've heard there about connection and about how the Lord always brings us back around. And you know, like I guess for me, lots of people have been mentioned. I remember with Edna Wright, the lady that Mum mentioned this morning, for anyone who knew Edna, like we had to come to church early to practice so we could sing better. But she taught us a lot, and she would get out the front, and like those floorboards, mate, they were good floorboards because she stomped that floor. It was, mate, she taught you. She was a very good music teacher. And another, you know, good music teacher, but solid woman. No nastiness in any way. And I guess there's a lot of people like that in our lives. Well, I don't guess, I know myself, but there's a lot of people like that in our lives that make a difference every single day. And it's up to us also to think about how we contribute to that. And so I just want to, this will probably be an odd testimony, but this picture up here, I actually really like this picture. And I believe Susan actually painted that picture. And I've sat here and looked at this picture lots and lots of times. And I'm a person who gets busy, and I'll admit I like being busy. I'm also good at being busy, but I get too busy. So a picture like this for me actually says a lot. But one day I was doing something, and a couple of things I really like about this picture is if you actually move across this picture, it's quite incredible how she made that gate to catch up, to catch different angles of the light. And the depth that's actually in there, the clarity as you go through to the light, but there's all this beauty out here. But in amongst it, there's all this darkness as well. And I just think it's an amazing picture. One day, I wasn't at church at the time. I was at work. I was busy. But I had this sudden thought. I thought, that's got a verse on it. I always knew it had a verse on it. I'd read that. I thought, oh, I wonder what verse that is. It'd be from Revelation. Anyway, come to church. And I looked up and I went, heck no. That's from Psalm. And I've read that Psalm plenty of times. So I read that Psalm. Because I just want to talk about how we relate to things and how I relate to things first. So for me, that picture was how I think of the book of Revelation, which might seem a bit odd to some people, maybe to others not, but that's how I see Revelation. And if I get a picture, there's lots of other passages in Revelation that you can put some quite gory pictures with as well, of course, but when I think of where the triumphant parts are, there's Revelation. I did not put this for Psalms. So when I think of Psalms, traditionally I would have thought of maybe a grassland, a nice river, so obviously I connect a lot with Psalm 23, for example. Very, very glorious scenes, which that is. Probably more like glorious sunsets, though. So if we can read this Psalm, and yeah, I chose the whole Psalm. So I give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I call on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust... Oh, that was a repeat. Oh, to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our own eyes. This is the day of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. I give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Nope, that's 119. I was going to say, I don't remember that verse. Well, I do remember that verse, because it's the next one. We've probably all read Psalm 119, verse 1, a few times in our lives too. So, okay, I just want to go through, once I actually read the psalm. Now, I've read the psalm plenty of times. I've shared this psalm in church. I like this psalm. But when I actually go through, and we read in verse 11, they surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. And here you've got this repetitive message of we've got enemies around us. There's a darkness, there's issues around us. And then it comes through and it talks about the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely and he has not given me open to death. And I thought, here's this artist that has actually picked up this verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness, I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. So that's just one picture. And for me, that artist has done very well in conveying that and setting that scene and giving you that feeling of, obviously just from a human perspective, by the way, but so it's probably going to be way better than that. But there it is in a picture, and I like those visual cues in my life. So leading on from that, I go to the next thing as to why I mentioned this is so important to me. So I wasn't at work when I had that realisation that I didn't actually know what verse was on there. And then when I looked at it, I thought, gee, that's an interesting way that I connect with Revelation and the Book of Psalms. I need to go back and rethink that and what do I actually know about it and how do I process that and I guess for me, how do I actually connect with Scripture and apply that in life and share that? Because that's what, you know, we're commanded to go and share. It's so important. I'm right, I'm going to heaven, but the fellow working beside me might not be. So how do I share that in a meaningful way? Because God, from my perspective, God created this amazing world. It's full of just, there's so many things to explore and learn in this world. It is so much fun. I spend every day I love it. Nature is great, farming's great, you learn so much. And then there's all the people side, and he made all these personalities and everything, and he wants us to be there. When you look at his plan, it was always that we had free choice. He did not make slaves. We had free choice. And we can, it's a pull. He says, here, I'm here. He reaches out, I'm here. You can come. I don't bind you up. I don't make you. I bind up your troubles, but I don't tie you up as a slave. You come freely. And so I think that's a really, really great promise and message and blessing to share with people. You're actually free as a person and you can choose this. And as we just heard, it's incredible when you choose it how things can fall into place. And they do. And it's great. There is a way, and that was an awesome verse there from Isaiah 30, verse 12. There's a way, walk in it. Pretty simple. So, can I have the next picture, please? All right, so I'm going to actually now talk a bit about radio and why this has become so important to me. So I was treasurer on radio for years, I don't know, a decade or something. I was happy being treasurer, by the way. It's a nice job. It's pretty easy. But anyway, we needed a president, and you know these things, they go and you go, it's important. So anyway, radio, we'll be president, and that's all right. So I thought for a long time, we didn't have a station manager at this time, and how do we engage people in a meaningful way that they can build skills and do something that's meaningful to them, but also share with other people? And we've got this other little problem in our lives. So I'm a person that, I'm not a technologically great person, but I spend a lot of time engaging with technology, and I think it's really great. But we do have an issue with the amount of misinformation and very, very poor quality information that is out there that people engage with every day, and it influences them. And we can spend a lot of time fighting all those things that are wrong, or we can walk in God's way and be part of sharing with other people and be part of sharing his word, because that's, Jesus is the solution there. It's already there, but people have to reach and receive that message. So this is probably not going to come up real great on the screen, and it might seem a little bit odd. We wanted to keep it really, really simple. And I know that that verse probably doesn't really seem to have anything to do necessarily with that picture. In all honesty, you could put any verse with that picture. And I do actually have a whole heap of these. I think that's a mic. But I did actually make up a whole collage of all the ones we did last year, but anyway, it's a few pages. So sometimes the picture aligns with the verse and it might just make sense to someone, and I think that's important to get, but a lot of the time it doesn't. And there's a lot of good research out there that shows that how that we see things, what we associate things with, how we feel about things. We can see the word love here in three different colours, and I can guarantee you that they will invoke in you slightly different emotions just looking at those colours, because that's how we're made, and that's what's so incredible. So we thought about this a lot. Well, I thought about this a lot. How do we get people more involved? How do we enable people to have a voice? And how do we actually build something meaningful that contributes meaningful content, quality content, in a world where there's a lot of other content? So we're going to add more content, but I don't have time to try and take other people's content down and fight that. I'd rather just put more in. So we have this little program on 92.3 FM. Mum's the main driver of making it happen. It would never have happened without her retirement, I dare say, but anyway, she gets a bit busy with it. And we make up these, people take pictures, photos of what's around them, and then some people put some scripture pictures, scripture verses with them. We just use the Emmaus calendar to keep our lives very simple. And every day of the year, we have one of these. We post it on social media. And we also have various different people that record that verse. And I want to talk a little bit about that as well, because it's quite an amazing journey. So I know that I've heard some people say, Agnes's voice, they're like, love her voice. Just love it. They love that voice resonates with them. Whenever I listen to Gloria's, when Gloria reads the scripture verse, so we have this little bit of a blurb about you're listening to 92.3 FM, this is your local community radio station, here's today's scripture picture verse, and Gloria reads, and so she said all that, and then she reads the verse. It's incredible how much depth and delivery Gloria's voice has when she delivers the verse, the actual word of God. There's like this extra power in there. And Erna, for example, just it's a different voice, and different people resonate with that and hear that and connect with it. The other thing I'd say is that over time, for the individual, and I know this myself, so actually talking like this I actually find very, very tiring. I would rather sing something because it's all sorted. I don't have to try and figure out where all that those different places have to be in my mouth, easy. Or let me write it, happy, type it up. But so I need time somewhere in my life to actually not talk. I do a lot of it in a day, by the way. But I've found over the time that I've connected with radio, so I was involved with community radio for 10 years before I ever would even speak on air. And Harold and I, the technical manager, ended up at Mareeba Multicultural Festival one time by ourselves. And he said, well, you're going to have to get on air. And I was like, oh my goodness, alrighty. Well, anyway, so I did. Anyway, that solves a lot of things. And what I've found over time is I've actually become far more aware of how I deliver. I've become less concerned about if I stumble on words. I stumble on them. So what? The person listening is not interested in that. They're interested in having the conversation with you. So stop the fear and just share. And the other thing I've really found is that I've thought a lot more about how I actually share and communicate with people. Is it meaningful to them? And I know that's all really basic stuff. Go and do your high school English. You spend years studying this stuff. My kids did anyway, and I spent a lot of time talking with them about it. And for anyone who's been in a workplace, we do all these things on communication all the time, but they are important. And so over time, I find that your own skills to share actually do improve just by sharing that. There's lots and lots of other things, of course, that we do, and there's lots of other things that matter in the way that we connect. But this was just one way that we came up with in community radio that built value for the station, obviously, that built value for the individual person, and that also contributes value into God's kingdom in a meaningful way. So that people, and maybe this is very directed by me, by the way, because you see every day there's this little scripture picture verse and there's this like, hey, have a look, have a think, have a reminder. It's always there. So even if the day's busy, it's always, always there. So we're going to lead into a song in a moment, and I'll share how that connection really matters as well. But I see Mum gave me a couple of things here now. Ben's our station manager, and Ben's a really cool person in my life because he does lots of things, but he also does things like this, and I know there's a few of those up there. One of the things I just make the point with community radio is that you don't have to be at the studio, okay, and you don't have to be tech savvy. You can do a lot of things with the radio and share with other people, and please still keep your home, your church family, because the Christian Community Radio in Mareeba is not there to be a church. It is there to share with the whole Christian community relevant content that's appropriate, that's family friendly, that upholds Christian values. And you need your church family. But there's a vehicle there, there's a platform there that people can have a voice on. Our technical manager, Harold, made this cute little program up, probably not little actually, where we can record stuff at home and edit it. It's really simple. It's on Audacity, it's a free program. And then we can email that into the station if you've got an authorization and a login, blah, blah, blah. As everything goes these days, how many thousand passwords would you like? But, so every morning, for example, I jump up and I do the weather. Okay, that's not true. Almost every morning I jump up and I do the weather. And I record the weather, I put that on. And those scripture pictures, I schedule them. Ben schedules heaps and heaps of stuff. Another way, I'll just give a very brief, very, very brief little testimony of something that Ben's just recently done. He went, the machine gun preacher was up here. And I'm still feeling pretty guilty about this because one of my nephews actually sent me the link to the machine gun preacher being here. And I never made it there on the Saturday night when he was over in Atherton, because I was sitting in a tractor spraying. And I actually haven't caught up with my nephew to apologise to him yet. And the really beautiful other thing that my nephew did for me, though, is that we were desperately, desperately looking for a really good farmhand at the time. And we had all these applications, but anyway, we didn't really have anyone that was going to fill the role at the level that we wanted. And we were willing to pay a fair bit of money for a really good farmhand. And I know people might say, oh, it's just a farmhand. Well, sorry, I want someone that can use 100 different apps on their phone because my boss is big on it. I want them to be able to operate a tractor. I want them to actually get under that sprayer and grease it properly before they take it out. And I want them to be able to operate my irrigation properly. Anyway, so I was out there on this Saturday night spraying when I should have really been somewhere else. And we get to the Monday morning and we had two fellas lined up. One pulled their application out, and so we're down to one. And this particular fella said to me, oh, he come from another area. It's an area a bit further south. A year ago, I was offered a job for the same position I do here for 30 grand more down there and told, well, you're female, so we'll give you 30 grand more, but if you're male, we'd give you 50. And I was like, I'm not even going to leave this area, mate. I don't care how much more money you're paying if that's your attitude. See you later. So you get a bit cheesed off sometimes in the game is my point in all that message. Anyway, we get to this Monday morning and a resume comes through for a local young fella who's a Christian young fella, one of my nephew's mates, and it's like, you've got to be kidding me. Anyway, this fella's a diesel fitter, auto electrician, but he just wants a bit of time away from pulling spanners and doesn't want to be so greasy. I said, oh, well, mate, you're probably going to get a lot of water on you and some grease, but anyway. So it was just a double God answered, even though in that case, I don't really feel that I did the right thing by my nephew, because there was a moment that I had to make a connection with someone, with a young fella who's, you know, living for the Lord, and I didn't get there. But the bit that where Ben gets into this is the next week, Ben actually interviewed the machine gun preacher, which was really cool for me, because I was actually out in the paddock again on tractor, and I was like, oh, cool. So I got to watch the interview. So I did still get to catch up and see and hear some of what the machine gun preacher had to say while he was up here. So at least then I get to go back and actually have the conversation with my nephew about what, you know, the sort of content that that particular person shared while they were up here. And I just make that point because that's exactly how we can work together and support one another, and exactly how God actually, there's all these opportunities, use them. Because God's willing, if you think you're not doing much, you're probably actually doing a lot. So that's my testimony. And I know that the closing song that we're about to have is Exceeding Joy. Okay, so Exceeding Joy is a particularly special song to me. I have a few songs like everyone else. Generally, if I lead, you get blessed be the day. But Exceeding Joy is quite a special song to me because it has nothing to do with this person directly. I don't know if this particular person ever knew about the song or sung the song. He might have, but I don't know. We happened to be as a church at the time. We thought, oh, let's learn this song. So we were learning it. And Kev Carman at the time passed away. And I remember at his funeral, them talking, sharing some points about Kev, of course, and his eulogy. And at the time when Kev passed away, he actually in his study notes had been looking at how you get into heaven, which we all look at all the time, but he had some quite specific points that he was looking at, and about joy and really being the joy of the Lord. And so this has always just been, coincidentally, we were learning this song at the same time, but the connection that I always have with this song is about a Christian man who really lived for the Lord and knew that exceeding joy. And for me, that just drives home again, yeah, this is worthwhile. This is what makes everything worthwhile. If you're having a tough day, here's a great song. If you're having a great day, here's a great song. You just jump in and enjoy it. So would you all like to join together and sing about exceeding joy for the Lord?
That scripture that we had up there before, you see, you think you're not doing nothing. That scripture, the flowers behind it are flowers that my stepdad grows. He was brought up in the Lutheran Church. When they used to have exams, he would get 99.9% right. But he's angry with God, and he turned away from God, and he's still angry with what happened in his life. But he grows these roses, and one day he asked me to come up. Phil, he said, can you come up and take some photos of these roses for me and print them? And they got a phone, and they're hopeless with it. And So I took those photos. Those photos from the front of his garden. I can't even remember the names of them, but he's got several. The other day, so I put that with it because I thought, that's so encouraging to know. And I used it and I said, you know, Dad, I said, I use those photos from the radio station. I said, I put Bible verses with them. I said, and that goes out for people to hear. Oh, you're okay. The other day, I had this most beautiful little pink rose, like I was talking about Rhoda this morning. The Isle of Rhode is really known for its beautiful pink roses. And he had this beautiful pink rose. He had about half a dozen on this little bush. He stuck a stalk in the ground and the thing shot, you know, like just broke it off. It broke off. So he cut the end of the rose, he cut the rose off the end, and he stuck it in a bit of soil and the thing grew. And now it's got these beautiful roses on it, those little pink ones. And I took that, he come down home, he said, that little plant that you took a photo of years ago, he said, it's got more roses on it. He said, do you need them? I said, oh, did you want me to get more photos, Dad? He said, no, he said, you use them, don't you, for the station? I said, yes, I do. So I went and took some more. So next quarter, we'll have something on. Now, when she's just talking about communicating, we don't know what's happening because we all want our loved ones to come to know Jesus. Okay, so I just want to finish off today. I want to say thank you to you all because today has been a wonderful day and I hope that you all take something away from it. And our prayer here with the Ladies Bible Study is that each of you will continue in any ministry that you're in, wherever you are, with whoever you are. And remember, it doesn't matter. You can just be walking down the street and there could be someone. Give them a smile. It could be the start of something new for that person's life. Little things. Be faithful in little things and encourage one another. And there's a cup of tea there if you want just before you all leave. There's plenty of food. And there's fruit that we will put out. If you want to talk to Ben, and you know, I just wonder, where is she gone? You see Mary there? That's Ben's mum. And his dad was here this morning to come and say g'day. And they support him, and that's just beautiful. It gets a bit of a family thing. It's church family, as a church family, like not just here, but the church family, God's family. So it's just lovely. So thank you for coming, Mary. You're always a joy. I don't think that there was anything else. Oh, you can take another couple of gift bags or what if you have people, because I was just thinking it's Mother's Day coming up soon, or some friend that you're ministering to. Someone might be in hospital. Just take one and just give it to them for just some little thing. You can put other things in there too. Okay? Has anyone else got anything to tell me? Ladies that I haven't said? No? Okay, but I just want to say thank you to a beautiful team of ladies here that get behind everything we do. Thank you to all you beautiful ladies that came today. And please say thank you to Raquel and the children. And we just want to say thank you to Ben for coming. And this is going to go just the people who spoke. We have permission to put that on the radio. Okay? None of you were actually, unless you were in a photo and was approved that. And it's just a thing that we're working together with the station to show churches that you can too promote your ministries in your churches or wherever you fellowship for people. And of course, thank you to Tim. Well, we have to work together, so that's part and parcel of the deal. God's got a funny sense of humour, but it's pretty cool. So ladies, I just want to, from the bottom of my heart, say thank you. May you be encouraged to keep encouraging each other and to encourage others as you walk out your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the powerful testimonies and expressions of praise that we have shared here today. We thank you for the amazing women in this room and for the ways in which they have encouraged one another through their stories. As we leave this gathering, we pray that you would continue to fill our hearts with love and that we would take encouragement we have received here and share it with those around us. We pray that we would be bold in our faith and that we would be a source of hope and encouragement to those who are hurting. Help us to remember the words of Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. May we be women who build each other up, who speak life and truth in the lives of those around us. We ask for your protection and guidance as we go about our lives and our travel, and we pray that you would continue to work in us and through us for your glory. May your love be evident in everything that we do, say, and think. May we always be quick to encourage and uplift those who are in need. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, Father. Amen. Thank you.
That's it. All right. We in the frame, mate? Can you see us?
It's on now.
Can you see it?
I can see it.
All right. Rightio, press the button. Ben here from 92.3 FM. I'm at the Keswick Conference this week over Easter 2023. And I'm here with Naomi. How are you, Naomi?
Great, thanks, Ben.
Are you a local person on the Tablelands?
Yes, we live in Tolga.
Tolga? Yeah. And how long have you been up here?
In Tolga, about 3.5 years. Came from South Australia to the beautiful piece of paradise.
Yeah, that's for sure. I live up here and I totally agree. So what brought you up here?
My husband's health with his asthma, and we needed to get out of South Australia with the cold winters. So we were grey nomads coming up here for years, fell in love with the area and decided to settle up here.
Yeah, so we're at the Keswick Conference today. What brought you along to this event?
Well, everybody at church says you've got to go to the Keswick Convention because it's fantastic. So this is our first time and they're right. It is fantastic.
Yeah, you're really enjoying it. What do you think is one of the best bits about Keswick this year?
Oh, I haven't got anything to compare it with.
Yeah.
But the keynote speakers are both absolutely awesome and they've got a real, really heartfelt message that really speaks to me personally and I think to everybody here.
Yep, yep. Is it all going all right? Yeah, cool. I've really been enjoying Murray's thing on Philippians. I just interviewed Murray actually, so he was a very interesting person. And
he's actually staying with us.
Oh, is he?
Yes, and he is the most open, caring, sharing, very, very easy to talk to, amazing man.
Yep, yep. Yeah, he's actually said that he's been fed well too, is that correct? I'm only joking. So what church do you go to up here?
Atherton Tablelands Baptist.
Okay, cool. And you really enjoy going there?
Oh, it's home. And the family's absolutely... It's our family now and they're just the most amazing congregation. And
yeah.
We feel very blessed and very, very included.
Yeah, that's with John White.
Yes.
Yeah, I know John quite well and he does amazing stuff with a number of different organisations I'm with. And so, yeah, it's really great to go there. You're not involved with Kairos by any chance, are you?
No, I'm not. Yeah. No, Kevin thought about becoming involved with Kairos, but it's a very big commitment,
yep.
And it's just something we didn't feel God was leading us into.
Yeah,
they mostly want men.
Yep, no worries. No, that's amazing. So if you could give someone a nugget of knowledge from your life, what would it be? Yeah, a golden nugget.
Yeah, okay, it would be my life belongs to Jesus, do whatever you want with me and you just leave me.
Yeah, praise God. Would you like to invite people along to Keswick?
Oh, now that I know what it is, yes, yeah. I will, absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
Cool. So thanks for coming along and talking with us. It's been really great. Ben Cooney here from 92.3 FM. We're at the Keswick Conference and... Yeah, I recommend you come along as well. So we'll see you there. Thank you. That's really great. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
It's great talking with local people.
Are you a local boy?
I'm from Yungaburra.
Yeah, I volunteer every Monday in the information centre.
Oh, yeah, cool. Well, Mum goes there once in a while.
Who's Mum?
Mary Cooney.
Oh, yeah, I've met my mum.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have met her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She used to go very regularly, but she only pulls in occasionally now.
Yeah, so yes. she's quite an elderly lady now. Even
yes.
though she's got a lot of energy, she's needing to take a step back from different things. So, yeah, but anyway.
Well, when I bump into her, I'll say, oh, I met your son Ben.
Yeah, she'll be rapt. She'll be come home and then tell you all the goss and then come home and...
Is she Christian?
Yeah, solid Christian.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
She loves God. They go to the Catholic Church.
Ben's a terrible sage. He's 90.
Yeah, Dad's 91 in Melanda. They like going there and found their place there. So, yeah, I do Pinnacle Pocket and go to the Uniting Church a lot. And I have been to your church a few times as well.
I've seen your days.
Yeah, so... I mix with a lot of the Kairos ladies, so
yeah.
Once in a while I get along there to help
Joan's not very well.
Yeah, I saw her yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's a shame. Neither is Ernie.
No, well, he's turned up at the corner, yeah. And he's a lot better than he was, a lot better.
Yeah,
and she's
good.
Actually got, very concerningly, she had a heart turn in church a few weeks ago. And anyway, she's seen a cardiologist, and they now say that she's got a hole in her heart that she probably had since birth. She's got a concern. She's got several calcium deposits which are not causing a blockage, but she's got spots in her lung.
Yeah. Oh, we'll have to keep her in prayer then.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
She is a lovely lady.
Yeah, she
along with so many others in that congregation.
Just a warrior for Christ, that lady. She just has so much to give.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate your time. Thank you
Pleasure.
Very much. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, mate.